Hello and welcome to Celebrating Cinema. I'm Sophie and today I'm joined by writer, producer and director Davey Chu to talk about his new feature film, Return to Seoul.
Tu ne connais vraiment rien de la Corée?
Non, rien.
How long do you want to stay?
I don't know yet, but 3 nights.
I need your passport, please. Mais vous êtes française?
France 사람 같진 않은데.
아, 그게 무슨 상관이야? 자, 우리 만났으니까 따라와.
C'est que je suis arrivée en Corée un peu par surprise.
C'est ta mère?
Biologique, je pense, ouais.
Tu vas essayer de retrouver tes parents? Pourquoi non?
Mais je suis française.
T'es aussi un peu coréenne.
Votre prénom de naissance est Yeon-hee. On pourrait dire docile et joyeuse.
Thank you for making the time for me. Are you still touring with your film?
A bit. I wasn't, but I'm going to start again, starting from Saturday, going to Korea, then UK. It should be kind of the ending of it, I hope, as well, because I need to move forward a bit.
Yeah, I can understand. When did it start going around the festival?
The first was Cannes last year, so it's going to be 1 year exactly.
Oh, wow, that's such a long time.
But the first release was only in November in Cambodia, and then the French release in the end of January. So it's been recently that the releases happened.
So now you're touring with it again. Was there a bit of time in between the like festival circuit and the theatrical release? Or
not really, because it's a continuous, actually. It's a continuity because festival circuit is kind of 1 year and then...
Well, before we jump into your film, I would like to start by asking you a different question.
Sure.
I was looking at your top 10 films from the Criterion Archive, and I noticed that you really like to make a film make you cry.
Yeah. So,
I was wondering what the last film is that you cry to.
I was in France, actually, not too long ago. So I could catch up with some film in theater, which is not always the case where I am in Cambodia, where I live most of the time. So it was The Fablemans by Steven Spielberg.
Ah, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Steven Spielberg fan, kind of always been, and this one being the first directly autobiographical.
Yeah.
There is scenes with his mom, there is scenes of him alone discovering what he discovers in the film about the secret on his family that was just so heartbreaking because you know it comes from the real place.
Mm-hmm.
And just the mastery of mise-en-scène of Spielberg just make it so deep and so painful, actually. Yeah, that was the one.
All right. And what do you like so much about making a film make you cry?
No, I mean, what do I like so much about being an audience and crying? I mean, that's what you feel to be alive, that as simple as that. Of course, I have to confess, I love crying. Who doesn't, right? I mean, no, maybe if your life is like too sad, you just don't want to cry again. But I do know some people, like close friends of mine, who when they are super, super stressed, they want to watch the most stressful film ever. So they say that, oh, my life is not like the most shitty one ever. So I don't do that, but I can understand the feeling. No, but I just love that strong, uncontrollable emotional reaction that sometimes you can have towards the film. It's not only crying, but of course it can be joy, it can be fear, it can be anxiety, it can be deep understanding of something, and just how suddenly a piece of art is shaking you deep enough to make you until tears. That's something absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, of course, I am also a sucker for a good cry during a film.
But I have to confess that as more cinephile and picky that you become watching a lot of film and developing some kind of personal taste for things, it's more and more difficult to cry as well, because suddenly the artificiality of manipulation of emotions to make you cry is obviously something that now will make me step back. So when I do cry, and it's more and more rare, then it really means something for me, yeah. And Spielberg did that, yeah.
So it's been getting harder for you to cry during films.
Yeah, of course. I think it happens for a lot of cinephiles.
So was there a time maybe during producing Return to Seoul that you cried? Or
yeah, there was. That's a good question too. I can remember two, actually. One was during the prep. It's been like, I've been talking about that and the actress of the film, Park Jimin, as well, that our collaboration had some, I was going to say up and down, but that's not really the word, because had some kind of struggle and we went together through some kind of tensions and painful moments, especially during the prep, I will say, when she was questioning me a lot about the scripts, about the character, about the scenes, and I was kind of intuitively and firstly reacting with believing in that intellectual debate of ideas will be my way out, the way that we will compromise and find agreements. But it didn't happen that way. She was more and more feeling maybe tensed or not understanding why I would go that way. And to the point that it became a bit tense, and to the point that she really like had to really tell me that she was expecting something else, which is me stop trying to convince her, stop trying to be right and to win somehow the argument. So again, putting some kind of poor dynamics into it, but just listen to what she had to say and accept what she had to say as something closer to the experience of the character than mine, which means the experience of Jimin being the experience of an Asian woman living in France will be closer to the experience of Freddie being this Asian woman growing up in France and me than my experience. And so when I realized that, that's when suddenly we could go to the next step of our collaboration into understanding that, yeah, there is a way that we're going to make that film and that's the only way that we can make it. But just before that moment of realization, there was a big moment where I was facing Jimin crying, and also not only her, but her co-actor playing Tena, Gu Ka-han, when, yeah, I think it was so much thing, not only from the film, but from also their personal experiences and the thing were kind of unfolding and re-emerging, that suddenly it was too strong. And at that moment, I kind of broke out. The second moment, actually, it's interesting because maybe it's a full loop thing. It was, I think, one of the two last weeks of the movie. It was, we're kind of shooting in chronological order, not exactly, but at least first part one, then part two, then part three. And it was interesting because first it helped Jimin to kind of build the character and to be coherent with her character construction. But for me, it's also, I'm not very experienced as a director, so it also kind of shaped your directing. And I would say that we shot only 6 weeks, but throughout the last 2 weeks, I was more in control of what I was doing as well. As much as the character Freddy and Jimin as an actor were also more in control of what they were doing. So it was kind of like, it's natural that at the end, except if it's chaos in the shooting, you kind of like start to know what you're doing. And then we arrived to that scene that was for me always been in the writing, one of the most important, is the last dinner scene between Freddy, her French boyfriend Maxime, and then her dad, who she hasn't met for 7 years, it's been in part one, and then the aunt. And the aunt. And it was 2 days of shooting. And suddenly, and we knew it was a specific feeling as well, that, you know, is nearly the end of the shooting, so you become a bit melancholic. It was the last day for the aunt to be with us, the previous last day for the actor playing the father, Guan Luk. And so there was this kind of emotion on set, and then I could feel that everybody knew exactly what their place was, what I was requiring from them, what their character was, and it was really this moment of miracle of synchronization, of instrument perfectly tuned between each other. And it was this moment that I was kind of a bit apprehensive, because it always been a moment that I was feeling emotional myself in writing, which is the father playing the piece of piano that he recorded on his phone. And so I found myself explaining, I let them act, and it was not exactly that. So I used to come close to them and explain them, and then I just broke out and, and I was crying, because it was just too much of the emotion, just me explaining why the aunt has to react like that, what the father was really feeling, what. So, and I broke out. But of course, it also means that it was after months of being so tired by the production, of being so tense and feeling that, wow, that scene was 4 actors at the top of their game, giving me that somehow. It was like me receiving also the gift of their performances. It was too much for me. So I cried that day.
That's beautiful, though. That's beautiful to hear.
Yeah.
Maybe, could you maybe give a short summary of the film for our listeners that haven't seen it yet?
Sure. So Return to Seoul, it's basically the story of that woman called Freddie. She's 25 at the beginning of the film. She was born in South Korea at the age of 1. She was adopted by French parents and then she grew up in France. And the film starts when, at the age of 25, some kind of out of an impulse, at least that's what she says, she decides to go to South Korea in Seoul, Return to Seoul. And then she has 2 weeks of holidays. and it looks like she's not interested to do the classical journey to the roots when she's asked if she wants to meet her parents, her biological parents, and research about them. She says no in a very firm and self-convinced way. But somehow, after 3 days being there, meeting friends, drinking in some Korean bars, having some relationship with some random boys in the bar, she meets her biological father and the family of her biological father, and things are far to be what we would, as audience, would expect of such reunion. It's kind of a failure somehow, and it just brings suddenly Freddy in some unexpected path throughout the 7 years or the 8 years that the film finally follows her.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. It's such a beautiful film to start with. It really touched me, made me very emotional. But at the end, it also felt very repressed in a way yeah. that Freddy is herself repressed and not letting anyone too close to her around her. But it also felt like the audience wasn't allowed to get too close to her. She always stayed very elusive. And I feel like the way that you told the story in those time intervals over a long period of time really emphasized that, because once you kind of feel like you start to get who she is, we jump ahead in time, she becomes this completely new person. And I was wondering how you came to the idea of making the film that way.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. I think I tried usually not to go too much, because you just also follow your instinct and what you kind of feel intuitively of the personality of the character. And I don't want to put too much words into something that at the end will become kind of mechanical. If we try to understand the psyche and the psychology of Freddy, we could say she's someone who was traumatized, obviously, by the abandonment and then the adoption that she experienced in France, growing up in a country where she didn't look like anyone else. She built herself there, and she looked like to be like self-assured and in her good shoes when she arrived in Korea at the age of 25. But I believe that she's also someone who has kind of developed some kind of survival instinct and a way of protecting herself to kind of not being too affected by things when things get too painful. And so that kind of protection and kind of shield that she has built, it's her way of survive into that kind of big jungle with the trauma that she has experienced when she was very, very young. And somehow she defined herself as well through that kind of way of interacting with things. So for me, it's also deals with the way that we can see the way that she also deal with relationships in the film. Somehow, sometimes I hear people saying that she's someone who doesn't know how to love. I'm not so sure about that. I think that she's someone who loves to love. And when you see the first scene of the film, it's kind of a friend crush crush at first sight between her and the receptionist named Tena. And then she has a lot of affection for her. I think Freddy is also a generous character. But there is this thing of ending, the way that she ends relationship, that I have witnessed as well with people around me sometime, like specific people. And it's people, as she says to her French boyfriend, I could erase you of my life in a snap of my finger, right? And then the next cut is gone. And I know people doing that. And I know people who really will not turn back on the past, because when they move forward, they move forward. And there could be many reasons for that. But in the case of Freddy, maybe we could feel that it's someone who has a fear of abandonment as well, because of her story, and someone with people who feel they're very absolute in their relationship. And when they feel disappointed, which means sometimes that they feel the possibility of the ending of a relationship, they can't stand it, and they need to organize that and by themselves as soon as possible, because they may be so idealistic somehow, but they cannot even feel the possibility of the end of something. They just need to end it. And so it's difficult sometimes for people who suffer from being the counterpart, but I hope that the film is also showing where this behavior comes from, where this anger comes from, to make us feel empathy as well for Freddy, as difficult as it might seem. But I hope that at the end of the journey, we kind of feel something for her.
Yeah, that's beautifully put. I think that's definitely what I felt during the film as well. I'm wondering, now that you say this, do you ever read the reviews for your own film?
Not all. Yeah, let's say at the beginning you read and you're interested, and sometimes some friend will tell me that they read something cool, so I'm interested to read. Now the film actually has been released, and I'm very happy and grateful for that. It's been released in so many countries that I have to abandon the idea of reading reviews because it would be too much time. I'm also lucky, I have to say, that most of the time is like positive reviews. And I am myself a reader of film criticism. I love to read. That's how I also got into cinema. I didn't make a film school, but I was reading a lot of film critics. So I love to read that. And I know how harsh it can be sometimes also to receive that. So for that film, Return to Seoul, of course, I had some negative criticism sometimes, but mostly it's kind of positive. So I was lucky with that.
I've seen a lot of people write that if you like the film or not really depends on whether you like Freddy as a character, if you can feel empathy for her or not.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that for me, it was really easy to feel that, to see where she was coming from. But I can imagine that for some people, it might be too hard.
I understand that. And I did feel that when I was reading. I have to confess here that I was a bit surprised at the beginning about these reactions. Somehow I knew that the character would be divisive, we say. Because the script already, when I was sharing script with people, even like when I was doing like financing and stuff, sometimes we received that, the character is too empathetical, it's hard for me to follow. I could foresee that. But at the end, in some countries, including in France, for example, a lot of the discussion about the film were, I love the film because she's empathetical, or I don't like the film because she's empathetical. And I was a bit surprised because I thought that the film was also something else than only saying that the character is kind of empathetical. Because I have to say, I understand people can have difficulties with her, but I will not define myself Freddy as an anti-pathetical character. That's not what I think about her at first thought, actually. So I was kind of surprised to see how somehow, and I had a lot of questions myself, like what if the character was not a woman, but a male adoptee from Korea, French, and then would that comment will come so often? I'm not so sure, because when I think of like characters in history of cinema that Freddy is close to, I can find few female characters. Recently, I rethought of Agnès Varda film, the French title is Sans toi ni loi, and is Vagabond in English, with Sandrine Bonnaire, that was a homeless woman, and I think the character of Freddy is kind of similar to her. But it's hard to find female character. But if you think of male character, it's so many of them, actually. And one that I think of, because I watched the film, I discovered the film when I was like finishing writing it, was Five Easy Pieces by Bob Rafelson with Jack Nicholson. And I don't think film reviews were ever saying that this character is too empathetical. On the contrary, I think he was a fascinating character for all film critics because he was so free, so rude sometimes, so special and so unpredictable. But because he was a guy, maybe we were not like making him a trial of antipathy. I don't know how to say, sorry, my English is like giving me up now. But like, so I had this kind of question when I was reading the reviews.
Yeah, you've spoken before about how this process that you went through with Park Ji-min in creating this female character was really, really hard for you, especially when it comes to the representation of Asian female characters. How did you decide to write a female character in the first place, seeing as you are not a female? And
No, the answer is pretty straightforward. It's because all the story, it's based on the story of a friend of mine who happens to be a woman. So her name is Laure Badiouf. We used to study together in France. And then the first time I went to South Korea in 2011 to present my first documentary feature film I shot in Cambodia, she went with me. And then when she went with me, she was very sure that she didn't want to meet her Korean father, who she previously met twice. And then finally, after 3 days being there, she said, I just texted him, I'm going to meet him. Do you want to come with me? And I said, yes. And that's how I found myself witnessing that encounter. And it was a very strong experience that I reminded, I remembered. And then I got like inspired to kind of write a film about it like several years later. So it came from her, and but based on her, but somehow the personality of Freddy, as you can see in the film, it's majoritarily inspired also on the personality of my friend Laure, the way that she was dealing with things, the anger that she was liberating and the anger that she was not ashamed to close but just to express, was something very strong that I felt interesting as a filmmaker to keep for the character and even be the motor of the character, because I think that anger, that way of being sometimes brutal with the environment, that way of always refusing to be what people want her to be, but on the contrary, define herself by herself and breaking the frames and the labels that people always try to frame her in. That was that became the antidote for me of the classical, a bit of cliche narrative about the journey to the root story, in which it will always be some kind of delicate evolution of a female character who will face struggle, but finally make peace with herself, make peace with all her kind of different identities and culture. And at the end of this, maybe 2 weeks first trip, will find peace with herself forever. And I, not only in films, but you see that in report documentaries, in books. And I always felt myself a bit awkward with that kind of narrative, thinking that, but life is not like that. My experience is not like that. The experience I have listened from my friends who have not only adoption stories, but double culture story, going back to the country of the origin. It's so different than that. And so for many of these reasons, I wanted to make a film that will kind of be, for me, in my perspective, much more faithful to a certain experience that I feel is the experience of many people who has faced that. And I lost myself a bit into that, but I wanted to say, yeah, and for all these reasons, I was inspired by that. And it came from that character of my friend who happened to be a woman. So I didn't even ask myself the question, actually. And it was not like so hard when I was writing it. It was more like facing Jimin and suddenly having the interpret of that role, not being an actress. I think that was also important somehow, because she didn't come with any kind of usual professionalism of fitting. No, she was really like an artist talking to me equal to equal, and saying that, well, I never wanted to act. So if you want me to act in the film, I need to tell you that there is thing that I think weird and I want to discuss about that. And it was what was surprising. And at the end, I have to say, when we kind of find a way to work together, it was much more of a pleasure than a struggle. It was not painful. It was just amazing to work together and building that. But it was really that moment of, I would say, deconstruction into understanding that film, and maybe the next one as well, because it's also like something open in your way of working, but that film, we will not make it maybe in a classical way of a director is imposing his view and the actor is going to follow. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think this process that you went through with her, that it changed how you will write your female characters in the future?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. If it wasn't the case, that would be so disappointing and so sad, right? So it has to be some kind of transformative experience. And of course, I do think that I'm just in the early stage process now of writing, but I do know that the experience of making that film with Jimin and all the other actors and actresses has deeply changed me. Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of keeping the story sort of authentic to the experience that your friend went through.
Yep.
I was wondering about, because do you speak Korean yourself?
No, I was naively thinking I'm going to learn and stuff. I learned a bit, but I had to give up. I had so many things to handle making a film that I couldn't do it. No.
Yeah, because I've seen you say in another interview that sometimes when directors shoot outside of their home countries, they make their worst work, which
in this case,
I absolutely don't think that was the case. But how is that choice for you to shoot it in a country and in a language that you are not familiar with yourself?
Yeah, I think I had to really commit myself into spending a lot of time, not only in the country, which I did, but a lot of time discussing with Korean people, which will be actors of the film or people from the crew, production designer, costume designer, assistant director, artistic advisor, but also Korean friends, to always check things, to always make them read dialogue, to always ask them questions about, in a Korean house, where will exactly the father sits? Where will the kid sits? Because it's different and for Cambodian setting or French, of course, French setting. Checking that the dialogue I had in mind, will a father really speak like this to his daughter? And like by always checking and always trying to bring a really big expectation of authenticity and realism. And we're not obliged to that. And I really respect also filmmakers who want to take like liberty with reality and really jump into the fiction. I just feel that in that specific case of a foreign director making a film in a country which is not his, in some kind of real heavy stories such as adoptive stories, which is a very national big topic in Korea, I want to make things right. And that would be the worst for me if I make the film and people watch it in Korea and say, but that's not at all the way it happened. For me, it would be a failure. But that's my personal relationship to the question of authenticity in this specific case of real story and like belonging to the history of a country, let's say. So I surrounded myself by people and we just shaped that. And I even have like one specific person in my crew with a Korean director living in France named Jung-ye Yim. And she was close to me as an artistic advisor, and I will always be able to turn down back to her and ask her like specificity and detail when we were shooting. And it was really her mission to take care of stuff like that.
Okay. How was it to direct actors who were acting in a language that you can't understand?
I have a bit of experience on that on my Cambodian films because I can speak my language, but not like fully. So when I did my last film, Diamond Island, I already had my second assistant director who was kind of also doing acting coach with me. Here, I cannot say on that film I had an acting coach. It was really fully me directing the actors. But then I need to rely on my artistic advisor again who translates for me. I need to be super prepared to have... I translate the Korean dialogue into phonetic so that I can read the phonetic in Latin to kind of see and stress. Somehow, even though I don't speak the language, you get to finally understand a bit of the tone, the bit of the structure of the sentences so that you can kind of feel things. And I have to say, I don't think it's easy at all. It's not. I would not say I prefer to direct actors in not my language. It doesn't make sense. But then I have to say that you kind of develop an acuity to other things that suddenly you need to rely on emotional expression even more than when you're directing your own language, the expression of eyes, of body language, of movements, and you very, very like care about that specifically. So it kind of switched your attention to other detail that can be sometimes interesting.
Yeah. So the story is based on the story of your friend.
Yeah.
You have yourself also sort of similar, not entirely similar, but similar experience having grown up in France. So how much of yourself that you put in the film?
It's an interesting question because for me, it was an evolutive process. The realization of how much that film will be personal and intimate. I have to confess, when I first jumped into making the film, I think I was blind not to see how much personal somehow the film will be. So I was just thinking, that's a great story, the story of my friend, and I want to make a film out of that. And I just felt intuitively attracted to it. And it was when like starting writing the film, starting actually asking myself question of legitimacy and doubting about the legitimacy of why should I make that film? I'm not Korean, I'm not adoptee, I'm not a woman. So how is that my story and how do I feel entitled to tell that story? I still don't know if I was entitled to make that story. But for sure, at the moment where I was not nearly giving up, but somehow really questioning deeply, like, why? Is that good reasons behind that? I suddenly understood that there was hidden reasons behind that in which somehow making such a film about such a story would allow me to dig into my own journey between France and Cambodia since 2009 and maybe nourish the film and feed the film by a lot of personal feeling, personal understanding, personal anecdotes, but kind of hidden in the film behind the story of Freddy so that nobody can see how much intimate finally the story is. So I did that. And when I realized that, I have to say that's where really I didn't have any problems after in terms of legitimacy or even in terms of finding the direction of the film. When I reconnected me and Freddy, and of course it was not my story, it was still the story of my friend mixed with stories of other Korean adoptees I met or read the story of or documented myself with. But when I could make that fusion, then suddenly the film was clear. When I had doubts, I could find my way out because of that. Asking myself, in that case, what should be my answer towards Freddy's challenges or situations or problems? Yeah,
I have to say that I'm surprised that to hear that it wasn't this way from the start, because seeing the film, hearing your previous interviews, how you talk about your own experiences, it's so clear to me how similar they are. Yes, and
I think sometimes it's I like this. It's I think it's this kind of naivety, I would say, of being a bit blind to the real meaning even for yourself of your action. For me, it's the way I've always been acting in life, like doing things. But I think if you look at Freddy, it's a bit similar to her. It means that she jumps in the beginning of the film, and when asked, like, do you want to meet your parents? Do you want to go to attention center? She's really strong to say, no, why? Why should I? But obviously, I think, but that's a question open in the film, can we really believe that it's totally as a random choice of her to go to South Korea, like that country where she was born, like she just want to hang out in holidays? Maybe there is other meaning that she kind of refused and was a bit in denial even for herself, but maybe because it was because she refused to see the obvious that she could do it. If she was already knowing that at the end, I go to Korea because I had desire to meet my father, maybe she will have stayed in France, you know? So like, I feel very connected with that kind of, sometimes you need to jump into the action without asking yourself too many questions, and the actions and the results and the journey will kind of tell you what was behind this since the beginning that was so obvious and you were so dumb not to see it. But it was because you were dumb that you could do it, you know? Yeah.
So would you say that making this film has also made you know yourself better now, made you know your experience looking back better?
I believe so, yeah. And because I think, I don't know if I had discovered something about myself doing the film, maybe I did, but it was more about having to ask myself questions and having to dare to answer. It's more about that. It's about, now I was, because when you're writing, it's you need to make choices, and especially I relate a lot about the ending. Actually, it means that when you follow a character who basically asks herself one of the biggest questions, who am I and where am I going, kind of the meaning of life, or the question of how does it take to be happy, so like question that finally is some of the biggest questions for us, and you follow her for 8 years, somehow the way you're going to show her in the ending scene has to say a lot about what was the journey about at the end, and what is the outcome of it, what is the fruits that the main character will kind of get from that journey at the end. So somehow when you realize that and you're conscious of that as a writer, you need to dare to take some risk about what at one point I believe possible answers to those big questions would be for the characters, at least at the end of the 8 years, and maybe would be for me at that precise moment when I'm writing the film. So like to dare to answer to important questions, dealing with that question of identity and search for identity. Yes, I that's what I had to do doing the film. And that what I found fascinating in the creation process of making a film, when you have to deal and confront yourself with this kind of question and dare to take a risk to say something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it definitely worked out. You created a beautiful film during that whole process.
Thank you, Sophie.
Before we end, I would like to ask, Are you already working on something else?
Sure, of course. I'm also a producer, actually, with a company named Anti Archive. I created in Cambodia with fellow filmmakers. And so coming back to Cambodia for the last month has been also reconnecting with production project of filmmakers I work with that I used to produce short film or feature film of, and accompanying them into developing their films. And parallel to that, starting writing a new project on my own for next films. I'm in early stage of writing. I would like to develop several projects, which I never did. It's always been kind of a dream, but developing several different projects with maybe different shooting locations. And so there is one that is a bit more advanced, and the other one is still very, very early stage of development. I haven't said much saying that, but just to say that I'm working here.
Are you going to go back to working in French, or are you thinking about language?
I'm definitely thinking of doing something in France also, because I think it will be a nice challenge for me, because I haven't shot something in France since my first short film in 2006.
Ooh,
so that's been a while, actually, and so I want to deal with that, you know. But I need to find also the right. There's so many French films, so many interesting French films also. So sometimes not so interesting, but I need to see like what do I have to express? What do I think that is necessary as well in terms of story, of type of characters to give life to? Like Freddy, for example, for me, it's interesting character because I don't remember having seen such character of Asian French main character. First, if you just think of Asian French character in French cinema, you're going to struggle to find many of them because there's not many of them. And into some kind of like in Korean setting, which is we've seen a lot of Korean film, but not with that kind of European Asian character. So that was very exciting to kind of tell another type of story. So if I make a film in France, I would like to find something that will be also a bit different. Yeah,
I understand. Well, good luck with that. And thank you so much again for speaking with me today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
If you are interested in seeing Return to Seoul on the big screen, it is now out in Dutch cinemas, including Lab 111. You can visit lab111.nl for showtimes and tickets. The last few weeks, you have been able to enjoy the first three episodes of our series Future Frames, a series where we celebrate emerging Dutch filmmakers whose frames we are excited to see more of and claim the screen, of which we now have two more episodes to come in the next few weeks. If you haven't listened to it yet, make sure you check it out. And last but not least, if you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on whichever platform you're listening on and share so more people can find us. Make sure to subscribe and stay up to date with all new releases. Feel free to send any questions at celebratingcinema@lab111.nl and follow us at lab111 on Instagram. As always, we provide show notes, including all films mentioned, at celebratingcinema.com. This was a Lab 111 production, edited and produced by Yvonne GC, with music from Hugo Emmerzaal and artwork by Studio FFF.